All right, welcome back, everyone. It's 45 after the hour, and joining us in our Reformers Reader is a great guest to the show. We've got the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Your new book is Marijuana Manifesto. It's your 10th book, and I think the first question on my mind is, what inspired you to want to write about marijuana? It's not the first thing people think of when they think of Jesse Ventura.
Well, because I'll get into the story, but it gave me back my quality of life, that if it wasn't for marijuana, I would not have the quality of life that I was used to and that I enjoyed. And it isn't from me, but I'll just state this. It dealt with a person close to me who started suffering epileptic seizures disorder and started seizing. It got so bad it was 3 to 4 times a week, and I was in the middle of all this. And so my life was completely turned upside down. Not to say that the person seizing, of course, their life was turned upside down, but mine along with it. And the person went to the doctors, and they put the person on 4 different pharmaceutical seizure medicines, one, the next, the next, the next. None of them worked. The seizures continued, and all of them had horrible side effects. So finally, the person went to Colorado and got, at the time, called medical marijuana. And it was 3 drops under the tongue 3 times a day. In fact, had a seizure on the way there. And when the marijuana was started, then the seizure stopped. Now in Minnesota, it's legal medical marijuana, and it's changed over to 2 pills a day. And the person has not had a seizure in over 2.5 years now. And I attribute it completely to marijuana. The only sad thing is, because Minnesota's laws are so restrictive, what would cost $30 in Colorado costs $600 here.
Mm. And that's one of the impacts of these medical marijuana laws as they've unfurled in this country, is that they've gotten more and more restrictive as they've gone on. I would posit that that has to do with them trying to keep it out of the hands of the people who aren't supposed to have it. And that leads us to the discussion of marijuana legalization, which you touch on in the book. We got a lot of states voting on it this year. What do you think so far of the legalization regimes that have gone down in Colorado, Washington, and the other states?
I think it's wonderful. It's when you read in my book, you'll read the history of marijuana. And I think people need to read that to understand that in today's world, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and probably Ben Franklin would all be arrested by the DEA. They would be charged and probably serving 10 to 12 years in federal prison for being drug dealers, because marijuana remains a Schedule I, which is ridiculous. It's the only thing out there where law enforcement gets to say what it is. Nothing else, all other laws are made by elected officials and carried out by legislatures and Congress and things like that. But on this one, the DEA gets to do it. Well, they benefit directly from it. They make money off keeping it illegal. And again, you look at, it was the economic backbone of our country for 160 years. There was a time when we were the colonies where Britain actually ordered the colonies to grow it because they needed it and didn't have the space to grow it. Britain's only about the size of the state of New York, and they didn't have the vast areas in the South and all that. And marijuana was the number one crop in the South until the invention of the cotton gin. Mm-hmm. When the cotton gin got invented, then marijuana fell behind cotton for clothing and all of that. But it was the backbone. You could actually, in those days, trade marijuana with England in lieu of money. Mm-hmm. And it was accepted in the barter system. And then, of course, the 30s came along, and William Randolph Hearst and his 26 newspapers, And he used it like today, bought off the politicians in Washington, got it declared illegal because he wanted to corner the market on the paper industry in the fact that he owned thousands of acres of timberland and all these newspapers, and marijuana hemp makes better paper than wood. It's much more renewable. So what he did in the spirit of capitalism, he just got his competition eliminated by the law, which is absurd. And so, and he did it through articles in all of his 26 papers that were horrid. They were racist. They attributed the devil weed to black people. They insinuated that Mexicans smoked it, and that's why they were all lazy. And all of these racial things that were just, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up to a predominantly white country at that time, the white power was the power in the country. You know, people of color had no power, so they were scapegoated with marijuana, and then, you know, and the rest is history now. But it just, it's ridiculous. It's jobs waiting to happen. Colorado's got, what, $300 million new dollars this year to spend on their schools because of taxing pot. I know the first windfall out of Washington was that their judicial budget in the first year fell 15%, and I can tell you as a governor, that's mammoth. Mm-hmm. That's hundreds of millions of dollars right there that you're not spending. People fail to realize whenever someone gets arrested for anything, it costs you money. Exactly. Because it's your tax dollars that have to do the arresting. So while we arrest all these people, and then I'm going to go on with this, and then I'll let you back in. Every time you got the stuff with the national anthem right now, you know, with Kaepernick and all that. I laugh when I hear the national anthem today. You know why I laugh at it? When it gets to the part "Home of the Brave and Land of the Free."
Yeah.
And we have more people in prison than any other country in the world. How do we call, what hypocrisy? How can we possibly call ourselves land of the free when you ain't free if you're sitting in jail?
Exactly. We're speaking with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. His new book is called Marijuana Manifesto. It's extensively annotated. I hear 40 pages of footnotes. So you've certainly done your research. And you mentioned the 30s and Hearst and the demonization of marijuana. And there are some in our movement, and in fact, there's a book out called Cannabis Manifesto. There are some in our movement that bristle at the word marijuana. Why did you choose that as the title of your book? And do you share any of that concern about using the word marijuana versus cannabis?
Well, cannabis, that's kind of like, you know, that's like being an atheist or a non-believer. You know, you go through that if you're one of those. You know, are you? Because atheist sounds so harsh, and non-believer sounds much more acceptable. But the point of the matter is, why not use marijuana? That's what it was called when I was growing up. You know, that's what I grew up with. It. I'm a product of the 60s. I was in my teen years in the 60s, graduated high school 1969. And back then, it wasn't referred to as cannabis. So if I make the mistake, and we should call it cannabis, I guess, we call it marijuana. I call it marijuana because that's what it was called back in the days when I went and saw Jimi Hendrix, like July 25th, 1970. Mm. It was called marijuana back then. So spike it off to my youth.
You're making me jealous with the Hendrix concert there. I'm a little younger than you are, and dang it, I'd only been 2 years old, but I still would have wanted to go. Jesse Ventura, The Marijuana Manifesto is the book, and this is it's interesting to me that you came about wanting to write this book based on, you know, the experiences of someone you know dealing with a medical issue. Prior to that, had this been something on your political radar? Had this been something you'd
Yeah, I tried when I was governor to get legalization of cannabis. You know, at that time, when I was governor, I could get no cooperation. You see, I was an independent. Mm-hmm. And with independents, if you elect independents, you'll get to issues like this. But if you continue to elect Democrats and Republicans, then it's the status quo. I couldn't even get anyone to hardly carry a bill on it. You know, same thing held true when I they want to build all these sports stadiums, right? This is a little off on another subject, but I had a way they could build all the stadiums they want and it wouldn't cost the taxpayer a dollar. And that is legalized sports betting. Yeah. It's a $3 billion a year industry in Minnesota. $3 billion. Now, if we take what a bookie gets, 10%, that's $300 million new dollars a year. I mean, you could build this new Viking stadium in 4 years and have it all paid for just on the gambling that's illegal. See, that's the big problem here. When you make things illegal, they still go on. You just get no benefits from them because they're run by criminals and there's no tax revenue made on them. In fact, you pay. We've, since Nixon declared the war on drugs, we've paid like $1 trillion. Have we been successful? Absolutely not. You know, it's an unwinnable war. As I said when I was governor, people are going to do, in freedom, you have to accept the yin and the yang of it. You want freedom, but also part of that freedom is the freedom to be stupid. And man is going to do things that are stupid. And like I told my staff when I was governor, I said, you can't legislate against stupidity. People will do stupid things, and you can't make every stupid thing against the law. And that's what we try to do with people, because in what's supposed to be a free country, if you take drugs, quote, or ingest anything in your body, in a free country, how can you commit a crime against yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. So does this, your stand then on legalizing marijuana, is that extend to other drugs, prostitution, gambling?
Yeah, for me, the big picture, absolutely. Now, when you say, see, because it all comes down to addiction. Addiction's a disease. And, I'll give you a good comparison here. Let's think of a situation like this. Imagine if all the Starbucks and all the coffee disappeared tomorrow morning and people couldn't get their caffeine addiction. What do you think would happen tomorrow? I think you'd have anarchy. I think you'd have chaos in the streets.
Yeah, indeed.
And anybody that had any, boy, they better be have a conceal and carry because someone's going to steal it from them.
Good point. Now, you you brought up sports and politics, a couple of things I wanted to get to. Before we leave the marijuana issue, though, as legalization is unfolded in Colorado, we've got these industries now that are being built around it. And we've also got celebrities that are jumping in, some that we would expect, like Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg, others who kind of caught people by surprise, like the former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, was the CEO of one of these companies. What do you think about the industry side of this? And would you ever consider putting your name on some sort of cannabis brand?
Absolutely. I've put word out and no one seems to want it, so I thought I'd write a book. seriously, I think it's wonderful. It's a whole economic boom to our economy waiting to happen. I mean, how many people out there work in the alcohol industry? How many people out there work in the tobacco industry? Now, those are two legal drugs. When improperly used or properly used, can kill you. Marijuana's never killed anybody, or cannabis. You know, and you can't overdose with cannabis. You can drink and drinks binge drinking. Look, it's a problem at college. These kids, you know, binge drink and they die. Well, that can't happen with cannabis. You can't smoke enough in one night to die from it. It's never happened. If it does happen, it'll be the first time. And so when you look at it from a safety standpoint, and then you get the argument from people, well, the cannabis today is way more powerful than the cannabis in the 60s. That might be, but just the same as alcohol. You have different strains of marijuana, just as you have maybe a liqueur that's only 18%, or you can go out and drink 151 rum. you know, one of them's going to knock you into tomorrow, and the other one you probably handle all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same can be said, and on the side of if you're an inhaler, say you're a smoker of the cannabis. Well, if it's more potent, you may have to only take one puff, and you're good for how long? Where in the old days in the 60s, you might have to take a dozen puffs or smoke the whole cannabis cigarette. Well, that means you're inhaling more smoke in your lungs, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So the less smoke, the better. And if it's more potent, that's not necessarily a negative thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't overdose it.
Right, right. Governor Ventura, I got to tell you, checking out our live chat room here at CannabisRadio.com, we've got a grower out there in Central Oregon who says it was an area settled by Minnesota loggers, and he welcomes you out there if you want to start your brand. Another one of our chatters says,
I appreciate it, but I don't think I've had a varied multiple careers. But farmer hasn't appeared yet, and I don't know, I'm 65 now. I don't think I got a green thumb.
Another one of our chatters has come up with the name for the Jesse Ventura marijuana cigarettes. He calls them Ventura Highway. How's that?
Not bad.
Not bad.
You know, like I said, I would be open to it, because for me, I like to do a lot of firsts, and I just signed with RT America, that's Russian television, and my agent is William Morris Endeavor, one of the largest agencies in the world out of L.A., and they told me that I was the first person, first client where they ever negotiated with Russia.
Oh, wow.
For my services.
Interesting.
Which is what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's a first there, so I put a feather in my cap on that, so if somebody out there would offer me an advertising deal for cannabis, I'd jump at it, because I'd like to be the first elected official to officially put my name on something that should be legal. That it to me, it this is bigger than cannabis too. This is an opportunity for us, the people, to rise up and tell our government that we are the boss. Because over 50% of people now across the board, and the more all the time, when they see the good results and get educated, want cannabis legal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's our government that's telling us we can't. And we need to understand they work for us. We don't work for them.
That's right.
As much as they want to make you believe that they lord over us, cannabis could be the issue that really throws it in their face. You know, we had to start with Bernie Sanders' people, and believe it or not, Sanders' people and Trump's people are the same. They're just at the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I've heard that analysis before myself.
Oh, yeah. They're on the opposite ends, but they're both calling for ending the status quo.
Yes, yes.
One from the far right, the other from the far left.
Exactly.
And it's an amazing phenomenon when you watched it take part over the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And then you watch the two parties destroy it and stifle it down. Well, cannabis could be the issue where we can rise up and tell our government that we're in charge. We want this product. We want to be able to, you know, here's a quote. You want an original quote from me?
Yes, sir.
Here it is. I've said it many times, having grown up in the 60s. Marijuana or cannabis is to rock and roll what beer is to baseball. So imagine if they took away beer at the ball game.
That would be a tragedy.
Well, it's a tragedy because they've tried to take cannabis. I'm trying to say the words right.
Oh, I'm not the one who's got the problem with marijuana. I love the word marijuana.
Well, anyway, they're trying to take it away. I mean, I grew up going to concerts in the 60s, and you could go there with nothing. And it was sent right down the line, and everyone had a wonderful time, and it was some of the greatest times in this country, I think.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, from age 18 to 22 and a half, or 23 and a half, I was in the United States Navy.
Yes, sir. And we're speaking, folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Governor Jesse Ventura. His new book is called Marijuana Manifesto, and it's available through Amazon and other outlets. And I wanted to get toward that political discussion because, you know, your career fascinates me as someone who rose past the two-party politics and managed to become governor of Minnesota as an independent. This year in the presidential race, we've got the two least liked major party candidates ever. What should be the big opening for a third party candidate to make a splash. And yet Governor Johnson and Dr. Stein, between the two of them, can't even register 15% in the polls. How do we break this logjam?
Well, you break it by voting for them. Simple as that. But here's the problem. It's an unlevel playing field for them. Number one, the media never talks about them, never shows their faces when they show the other two. Everything's focused on the two-party dictatorship, and the media's bought and sold by the same corporations that own the two parties. So it's all in a big circle, and if you're not in that inner circle, you're left out. What happened in Minnesota was this. I was polling no better than Gary Johnson, 9% at Labor Day, but I was allowed in the debates. In 60 days, I became the governor of Minnesota because I was allowed in the debates. The problem with the presidential debates, guess who gets decided who gets in? The Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that had the Federal Debate Commission, this so-called nonpartisan commission. Well, it's nonpartisan for the Democrats and Republicans, but it's very partisan for third parties. They set this unbelievable high standard of 15%. In the state of Minnesota, if you get 5% on a statewide election, you're considered a major party. Hmm. 5%. Yet at the federal level, and who set the standard of 15? Where is that in law that you have to have 15% to be included in the debates? Yeah. And I proved it. I went from 9% in 60 days and became governor of Minnesota because I was and you should have seen him scrambling to cancel debates because as soon as I hit the first debate, oh boy, my numbers started heading straight up and the other two sides were canceling out. We had a debate scheduled in front of representatives of all the high schools in the state of Minnesota that planned for a year. And the major parties backed out of it because I was zooming to the top, so and they had to do it. You got people need to understand this is the dirtiest business going, and people who are involved in it, obviously, for lack of better term, will jump into the mud with the pigs, and the pigs love it. Mm-hmm. Follow me?
Yes, gotcha.
This is politics is the dirtiest, rottenest, underhanded business there is. They will do anything to win. There's no ethics involved. When I was in office, they never attacked my policies. They attacked me personally. Then they went so far as to the media to attack my children.
Mm. You know,
and that's what you're facing here. That a lot of people wanted me to run for president, but I couldn't bring myself to go in on the whole 100% of doing the job. Because I fought back, but I will tell you this: had I run and say I got the Libertarian, I'd have been in the debates. I'd have shamed them into it. You know how I would have did it? I would have said, Hillary and Donald, you two want to be the commander in chief of the military. Well, I have something neither of you have. It's called an honorable discharge from the United States Navy, and you want to be the commander in chief. That requires a person with courage. You don't even have the courage to debate me.
Mm.
And yet you want to run the military and you want to tell me that you have the courage to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have shamed them into it.
Well done. Jesse Ventura, the book is Marijuana Manifesto. And so looking at the fact that we've got this setup system where we're going to be force-fed these two candidates.
Oh, it's rigged. It's rigged from anyone outside the two parties. It's completely rigged against you.
Yeah. Do you see, though, is there any lick of difference to which one of those people might become president as far as politics or even marijuana goes?
Maybe. Well, Hillary gives you the typical chicken politician answer. She says that, there has to be more studies on cannabis. No, there doesn't. That university over in Israel and the doctor, I might add, funded by the United States, he knows it all. And he's already unequivocally said it could help out the head traumas in the National Football League. They've already said that marijuana cannabis can help post-traumatic stress for all the young and men, women we're sending off to these vile wars that we can't get out of worldwide. It has so many medical uses that really whoever banned it, I think, should go to jail because they've denied humanity. And for all the religious people out there, isn't part of your religion that God put everything here? Well, what right do we as man have then to destroy a creation of God? Because God made marijuana.
First page of the book. So, Governor Ventura, I'm wondering, I'm sorry. It looks like we've just disconnected, unfortunately, with the governor. My apologies. Let's see if we can get him back on the line here. We just pushed the wrong button. I hate it when that happens. We will bring him right back as soon as I can get that number pasted back in. And here we go. We'll dial back out to Governor Jesse Ventura talking to us from his home. Sorry about the disconnection there. Governor Ventura, Russ Belville again. Sorry for the disconnection.
No problem. Anyway, I'll finish my train of thought. God made marijuana, hemp. And so why I don't, and allegedly everything was put here for us to use. And hemp has so many uses. It's criminal. It's that they're not using it. I mean, it's biodiesel fuel to help us get off Middle Eastern oil, although I say let's get off of all these engines and go solar completely. But anyway, that's another story. But it's clothing. I mean, I love to tell this one. How can it be any more American than the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Betsy Ross's original flag are made out of it?
Very good point. Governor Ventura.
You know, I mean, if I was in a courtroom, I think I could say, I rest my case.
Well said. Now, Governor Ventura, you briefly touched on sports, and of course, people know you from your past as The Body. One of our chat room people wanted to know, are you still working out? Are you still pumping iron?
Oh, yeah. I just trained differently today. I'm actually right now 2 pounds more than I was when I got out of the United States Navy.
Wow. Okay. And you said, you're 65?
I weighed 228 when I got out of the Navy. I'm about 230 right now. I lift weights yet, but I do nothing less than 20 repetitions per set. I do 300 reps a workout 5 to 6 days a week, depending on the body part. And then I really focus in on the elliptic machine because I had a hip done a few back in 08, and my surgeon at the Mayo Clinic, he doesn't believe anyone over 40 should run. Not that they're incapable of doing it, but the pounding.
Yeah.
It'll jar and pound your body apart. And with the technology we have today, like elliptic machines and all that equipment you have, I actually listened and I switched over to the elliptic machine. And right now I do anywhere from a marathon to 40 miles a week.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
And I'm on Medicare now. I just turned 65 this summer.
Well done, Governor Ventura. Glad to hear it. And along that same line of questioning, I had my own question from my childhood that I wanted to ask. And that is, aside from yourself, who do you consider to be the 3 greatest professional wrestlers of all time?
Oh, again, that's difficult to do. It's like anything. You can't compare generations to generations, like, you know, comparing Babe Ruth to Hank Aaron, comparing whatever to whatever. It's just like in this year's Olympics, what's his name, Bela Kirai, the big gymnastics coach. they asked to compare this young girl from the U.S. to Nadia Comaneci, his first great student that he took to the gold medal. And he said, you can't do that. It's unfair. It's different times. Mm. And so you can't, you know, who's the three greatest? Who knows? That's ultimately in the world of pro wrestling. That's in the eyes of the fans. I can't sit here and tell you who the three greatest are. I will say this: I'm the greatest talker.
Well, no doubt about that, Governor. Now, as we,
and in my day, they always said the money was made at the mic.
There you go. Was marijuana ever a concern in pro wrestling back in the day? I mean, I've heard lately it's been tested for.
Not a concern, you know. I'm not going to say any really. I'm not going to say anything more than that. It was used for the same things that they would use it today for: pain and other additional things that, in my opinion, are far better than having to go to pharma. I mean, we here in Minnesota just lost Prince.
Yes.
And we didn't lose Prince to marijuana. We lost him to pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, specifically, we lost him to fentanyl. And in Arizona, one of the makers of fentanyl has donated $500,000 to try to defeat legalization there.
Yeah, of course, because they want you on those pills. I mean, when you look at the epidemic going on throughout this country right now with opiates, it's scary. And yet here's some instant feedback, too. Everywhere they've legalized marijuana, heroin use has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it runs in the face of them when they sold us back from the 30s on that it was a gateway drug, that you'd smoke pot today and in 2 years you'll be on heroin in a gutter. Well, this is proving that is not true at all. In fact, the opposite holds true. There's less going to that extreme if access to marijuana or hemp is available or cannabis.
Governor Ventura's book is called Marijuana Manifesto. You can check it out at Amazon.com and other fine retailers as well. And Governor, of course, we've got about 3 minutes left here. And this November, we've got 9 states on the ballot, 4 with medical marijuana, 5 with legalization, and most importantly, California, with its Prop 64 legalization, is on the ballot. Are you in support of these measures generally, California specifically? Should people take a look at these and vote for them?
I haven't read it completely, but be wary. Be wary, because what I say by that is the one that got voted down in Ohio, it was good that it did, because be wary. What the government's trying to do is make it to where you're going to have to buy all your cannabis from, say, an Anheuser-Busch, a big corporation. And they're writing these laws that allow the corporations to take over the business. You know, and I think that's the big thing the cannabis people don't want to have happen. They want poor people to have access to it. We want the freedom. Even today, I'll finish with this. It's still not legal in Colorado, not completely. You want to know why?
Yeah.
I can go to Colorado and I can buy as much tobacco product as I want and fill up a pickup truck, right? No one would say a word to me. I could go to a liquor store in Colorado and I could empty out as much liquor as my credit card would hold and it would all be legal and no one would say a word. Yet, a state resident can only purchase 1 ounce at a time and a non-resident can only buy a half an ounce of marijuana at any time. Now, so that means it's still not completely legal. And the other thing about Colorado that's strange, you have to have a prescription to get medical, but you don't to get recreational.
Yeah. It's still a long...
That don't make no sense to me at all.
Yeah, we still have a long way to go before we truly achieve cannabis liberation.
Little
baby steps
and
are frustrating.
We have to keep the heat on, the feet to the fire, because they're going to do everything they can to reverse all this any time that they possibly can, and they got huge money backing them. So the people, like I said, this is an issue where the country can rise up and tell the government, hey, we're in charge, we want this legal, get out of the way. We're the boss. You're not. You're to carry our wishes out because you take our taxes and spend them.
Oh, Governor Jesse Ventura, thank you so much for those words. We appreciate you joining us here on the show. And this sound means...
You can't handle the truth.
What a perfect segue. Governor Ventura, thank you so much for joining us here for this extended interview.
You.